In the West, there are still a few good men left. Men of God, like the circuit riding preachers of old. Proclaiming truth like the holy prophets of old. Strong and bold. You're about to hear politically incorrect, but biblically correct truth from circuit riding preacher Peter Peters, whose home base is a radio ranch nestled in the Laramie River Valley near Laramie, Wyoming. The Radio Ranch is a working cattle and horse ranch where circuit riding preacher Peter Peters broadcasts nightly worldwide on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, reaching the world through satellite, radio, television, shortwave, and the World Wide Web. Riding for the brand, he preaches for the man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. His circuit not only includes a radio ranch outreach in Wyoming, but also the LaPorte Church of Christ, located at the base of the colorful Colorado Rocky Mountains in LaPorte, Colorado, where he has preached for over 30 years. The messages preached there by Dr. Peters on Sunday morning are streamed live on the internet and are archived at the ministry website, scripturesforamerica.org. Dr. Peters' politically incorrect but biblically correct sermons are available on CD and DVD. Many in America, Canada, and all over the world are on the free CD and DVD ministry. Our address will be given at the end of this broadcast. And now, here is Dr. and Pastor Peter John Peters with the Word of God.
One of those messages where there's a whole lot of things that I would like to cover, and I know I can't cover everything. And I also sense that there are, I want to tell you some of the things that have happened in Branson since I was there. So I sense that there are people that have come, and they've not come in love, as far as coming on the internet or on the radio to hear what's said from this pulpit. So there's a whole host of things that I could cover. Maybe the first thing I should cover is dealing with Day of the Lord events. For those that have been part of this ministry and watching it over the years and been with us, you know that it was in the year of 2007, we preached from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 about the man of sin or the man of lawlessness, depending which translation you use. And the Bible says that the day of the Lord would not come until that man who takes his seat in the temple is revealed. And he was revealed. We not only revealed him, but we gave the name of him. We have a booklet called The Man of Sin that we sent out to people that write and request us, The Revealing of the Man of Sin. It's available to those that want to write to us at Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535, and we'll send it to you. This is not about that, except to say that since that man of sin's been revealed, the Day of the Lord events have been happening. Now, in the last few days, what am I talking about? 7 to 10 days. Even the whirlwinds, the tornadoes that we have had in this land have been quite astounding. I was in Branson a week ago. My son-in-law called. He was there in Branson as well. My daughter hadn't got there yet. My granddaughter was in school here. And not too far from here, Windsor, I was told, and he told me on the phone, he heard about it, a huge tornado hit the ground and destroyed much of Windsor while we were gone. And the report was, and this is what they gave on the news, that it was headed to LaPorte, Colorado. So we were on the phone and we just prayed right there. And knowing that the granddaughter was in school, we prayed protection over that school. We prayed protection over this church. And that tornado, the eye of it, went directly over that school and didn't touch it. Now you can say what you want, but I believe prayers were answered. Now, didn't touch anything out here in LaPorte. LaPorte is just about 4 miles from Fort Collins, Colorado. And then our radio ranch is on north here, laying over on the other side of the Wyoming border. And the next thing we know, that we're told that the tornado is headed to Laramie. Now, this is unheard of. I've lived here a long time. I've never heard of a tornado going over the pass that I have to go over every time I go to and from church from the radio ranch. It's about 9,400-foot pass, or mountain pass. But that tornado went over that pass, and so we just prayed again. And I prayed for the radio ranch, but it hit Laramie, Wyoming. Now, these things, it didn't hit the ranch. I think it got within 15 miles of it. But these things are unheard of. These type of weather phenomenon are Day of the Lord events. But what the world is not hearing is that these events are signs of an angry God. You want to have some witnessing tool. When you hear about the next whirlwind, you can point out to them that the prophet Hosea, and I want to say this about prophets, we have got such a perverted brand of Christianity today. I've thought about making a sermon entitled, How to Be Happy in the Lord and Everyone Love You and Go to Hell. If you don't want to stand against anything, you don't want to preach against anything, and you want to love anything and everybody, you're going to have a fine time here, but you will face God on the day of judgment. And you might love the preachers now that make you feel warm and fuzzy because this is the way it's supposed to be with sweet Jesus. But you'll hate them on the day of judgment. And if you've got a preacher out there that is not in this evil time being attacked, you better start examining what he's preaching. Just to give you an idea of how corrupt that this world has become, we have started doing broadcast called Another Untold Story. They're 2 minute a day radio broadcast running on about 250 radio stations every day now. And the other day I did one on homosexuality. All I did was point out was what the homosexuals, there was a big group of homosexuals that met in 1994, and they actually wrote a book about how they were going to get homosexuality promoted into our society. And so I gave that, as I remember, that particular Another Untold Story. And I said, if you want to know the rest of the story, go to anotheruntoldstory.com. And then when they came to the anotheruntoldstory.com, they heard the rest of the story. The radio stations that carried that, you know, I want to tip my hat to you homosexual, filthy, faggot queers. You got more guts to you than the average Christian. You're promoting your lifestyle. Isn't that true? They promote their lifestyle. When somebody speaks against their lifestyle, they'll attack. Well, you can speak against Jesus Christ. You can malign the Bible. You can make fun of Christianity. We're the Christian soldiers. You tell me. But I want to tell you just how bad things have gotten out there. As far as I can see, we are the only ministry that has a national outreach that's calling a spade and a filthy sexual pervert, a homosexual, a damned person. Pointing out that the Bible actually teaches that God would not allow it in his society when he had the Israelites come into the promised land. Amen? And they wanted to get me off the air. And you know what they call me? They call me a hater. You got that right. I hate homosexuality. And I hate adultery. I hate bestiality. And I don't care what judge would try to make it legal over there in California. And if I was in California, I'd be praying, God spare me from the earthquakes that's coming. Because if you don't think there's a God, and if you don't think there's a God that has anger and wrath, you'd better think again. Well, I just don't feel love from you, Pastor Peters. What the problem is if you've got these people that claim to love Jesus Christ, but they do not hate Antichrist. They claim to be for Christ, and you can't be for something and not be against something. And the Word of God says, and David, who is represented as a type of Christ, said, do I not hate the assembly of evildoers? And I can tell you right now, when those homosexuals assembled in 94, as I pointed out in that broadcast, there were Harvard graduates, they were psychologists and psychiatrists, they were brilliant. They're no small IQ people. And they figured out and they gave a battle plan as to how to get you people out there to accept homosexuality. Now, if I was out there in Branson and we were cross-dressers, and we were cross-dressers and we were going to rent a hotel, do you think that the Ozark moms would be calling like they did out there when we were having our meeting and protesting? Do you think there would be these gospel singers that say, oh, we won't sing for you? Oh, yeah, they'll come and sing Jesus because we don't want to discriminate. I had one, we were going to have a supper meal over there at that hotel. I forget the name of that hotel. What was the name of that? The Grand Plaza. The Grand Plaza. We had all arranged with the restaurant over there. I was going to have the men meet over there. And the Grand Plaza just said, you can't come here. Now, I asked the man, the fellow that had the restaurant, I said, what kind of owner is he? He said, he's a religious man. Yeah, but if we'd been cross-dressers or the Hell's Angels, you think he would have discriminated? No. If you were with us a couple weeks ago, I talked about the Rattlesnake Church. You will find that the persecution comes from those that claim to love the Lord Jesus Christ. How bad has it gotten in this land? If you have a preacher that stands up against homosexuality, they will attack him and accuse him of not being Christian. Now, that's how bad it's gotten. Now, I want to tell you something. I believe my Bible, and I believe what the Bible says about what God did to Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. And I don't think he's changed, because my Bible says our God is the same today, yesterday, yea, and forever. Or have I misread it somewhere? And they said, well, you know, a God is a God of love. I sure won't disagree with that. But if he's a God of love today, he was a God of love back there several days ago in Sodom and Gomorrah as well. Amen? Amen. He loves his creation. He loves his society. And you better ask yourself, does he love your church when you don't stand up against this sin? And damn the hell the preacher that does. We won't sing for him. Oh, no. He's a wicked man. Turn over to Isaiah. I think we want to go to Isaiah. No, let's do this. Let's go to Proverbs 10:25, first of all. I wrote these scriptures down, because I want to talk about the whirlwind. The Bible doesn't talk about a tornado, but I tell you what, whirlwind fits the category of a tornado. And Hosea the prophet said, if you sow to the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. And this is what it says in Proverbs 10:25. It says, when the whirlwind passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. Another passage regarding whirlwind. Let's go to Proverbs 1. Oh, I tell you, it's in the Bible. I didn't write it. Don't get upset with me as we go to verse 26. I didn't write it. How do you? Oh, isn't that terrible? Oh, this destruction of all these tornadoes are going across the land. And somebody said, well, we've always had tornadoes, you know, I think it's always been. We have had more tornadoes. I think the average is, if I remember, don't quote me exactly, for years, about 300 some. We're not. Three times as many this year, and we're not even all the way through the year. Now, we say, isn't it terrible? How does God feel about it? How does God feel about the whirlwind that hits a land that has mocked him, mocked his law, and thought they could get by and not answer to God for all this filth and sin that we've allowed this Talmudic Hollywood to flush into your minds right there between your temples? They sit there. Well, this is what it says. I didn't write it, so don't get upset with me. I will even laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes on like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come on you. Well, that's not the way my God is. I know it. You better start following the God of the Bible. And it's about time there be a little bit of fear of God being preached right along with repentance. Amen. There was a man that did a study, wrote a book. One of my Acres of Diamond men were telling me about it just last weekend. In fact, he wrote it down, but about life after death experiences. And he did a long research, and so many of them talk about the same thing, about seeing a light, actually seeing Christ. You've heard these things, haven't you? But what you don't hear, and they make sure you don't hear, were some of them that really puzzled him. And they said it was horrible, that they were in utter darkness, and they were completely alone. There was nothing around them. They were conscious that they were there. They could move, but it was terrifying because it was such a darkness and an emptiness. That's where they were at. You ever hear about those life after death experiences? Well, you'll read about it in the Bible when Jesus warns about being cast off into the utter darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, I didn't write it. Jesus told us, and it's written down in the Bible. Is it preached today? It used to be preached, called hellfire and brimstone preaching. But, oh, you're just a hater. You know, I think it's just terrible, those people. I think it's a good thing that they don't sing for those people. I think it's a good thing they discriminate against those people. Those people that have the audacity to stand up and sing, Jesus loves me. Isn't it horrible? I want to tell some of you people out there, because I sense it in my spirit, you've joined me. You better pray to God that I'm not a man of God. I want you to hear me. You'd better pray to God that I'm not a man of God. Because there has been persecution leveled against this preacher and against singers that have sung for us, and slander and lies spoken about us. And the Lord said, do my prophets no harm. I didn't write it. Amen. Now, you better pray that I'm not a man of God, because I want to tell you something. I have, as a man of God, prayed for you, you lying slanderers out there. We're at war. We're at war, and the Bible, that's why the Bible talks about putting on the armor of God and holding up the shield of faith that quenches the fiery darts of the evil one. If you do a Bible study at all, you'll find out that the lies and slander that people throw at you are the fiery darts. And it's meant to make you bitter. It's meant to bring you down. It's meant to destroy your ministry. You better pray I'm not a man of God, because I've prayed. No, I didn't say, Jesus, forgive them. They know not what they do, because you know full well what you're doing, some of you snakes out there. Paul was a man of God, and he talked about Onesimus. Is that his name? That the metal smith, the silversmith that had done him wrong? He said, may God pay him back. You better pray I'm not a man of God, because I wanted you to know something. I prayed for you. And we grabbed a bunch of men together even yesterday, and we prayed against those that have come against us in slander. And I've taken a lot more persecution than that, let me tell you. And let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says, all ye that choose to live godly shall suffer what? Persecution. Now, I hesitate to call it persecution. It's so minor anymore. But we received a little bit of it when we were out there, because there got to be a telephone grapevine calling thing. I'll get to that, but let me get back to this thing on the whirlwind. I'm saying it because I want you to know that the Bible teaches that there is such a thing as an angry God. The Bible teaches, I don't understand this whole concept of hell, but I know this. I got enough sense to know that it's a hell of a place. And some of you better learn to fear God again. Amen. And I want to say this, I feel spirit-led. Some of you that are watching TV, when I go on the road like that, I'm in a motel room, I can click the TV on, I'm aghast at what's on TV. And if you want to keep your lives pure, you better watch what's going into your ears with regards to music and what's going into your eyes from this place called Hollywood. And there's way too many eyes that are glued on TVs today, and they're going to keep you out of the kingdom of God. And that's what they're intending to do. Can you receive that? I hope you can. I'm telling you. They might not tell you that, but I'm telling you. And I'm telling you this, that the events that are going on now, these Day of the Lord events, they are events prior to the release from the Egyptian captivity that we're in. I want to go over to Psalms chapter 66. In Psalm 66, and I'm still on this thing of whirlwind, verse 14 is where we'll begin. It talks about the Lord and His chariots of whirlwind. We read, Isaiah 66. I said Psalms. I do apologize for that. I'd like to blame that on Richard, but I don't think I can get by and convince anybody that it was his fault. So we'll go to Isaiah 66. Starting with verse 14. Then you shall see this, and your heart shall be glad, and your bones shall flourish like the new grass, and the hand of the Lord shall be made known to his servants. But he shall be indignant towards his enemies. For behold, the Lord will come in fire, and his chariots like the whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For the Lord will execute judgment by fire and by his sword on all flesh, and those slain by the Lord will be many. Those who sanctify and purify themselves to go to the gardens, falling one in the center, who eat swine's flesh, detestable things, and mice, shall come to an end altogether, declares the Lord. Let's go over to Psalm 77. And there we go to verse 14. Psalm 77:14. Thou art the God who workest wonders. Thou hast made known thy strength among the peoples. Thou hast by thy power redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee, they were in anguish. The deeps also trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth a sound. Thy arrows flashed here and there. The sound of thy thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. The way was in the sea, and thy paths in the mighty waters, and thy footprint may not be known. Thou didst lead thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. I had that down in my notes here because notice the weather, what was going on in the days of the Egyptian deliverance. Whirlwind, the trembling, all these things. And we are in the day of the Lord right now. I wanted to put that out. I wanted to give some review in regards to what went on in Branson last week. The first message I brought out there was, let's have a party. And I pointed out that another word for party is a celebration. And that's how they got out of Egypt, was a celebration. Moses came to Pharaoh and said, we want to go out and celebrate the feast. And Pharaoh knew to keep them from the party. That's another word for celebration. And they were celebrating and partying in the day of the Passover when the day of the Lord came upon Egypt. And these events were going on. And some of you might tend to get caught up in a fear in regards to the day that you're in. Well, I can tell you that our Lord is capable of delivering. Amen? Amen. And you have to face the future with a smile. Having a party in this day and age was actually an act of faith. And I pointed out in that first message that the heathens would party and celebrate and praise their gods for the victory that their gods gave them over their enemy, the Israelites. Well, I say to the Israelites, those bought by the blood of the Lamb, He's already given you the victory. And having a party and celebrating that victory is an act of faith. We do not, as the Bible say, look upon the things that are seen, but upon the unseen. And so, that was part of that first message. The second one was on music, and I pointed out that music affects us physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. I actually flew in a lady from California. She did an excellent job in teaching our children music. I want our children to begin to learn music. And I had Charles Wiseman. He brought an excellent presentation on the power of music, either for good or for evil. I may have talked a little bit about Operation Sing Song. I need to tell you about it now. It occurred to me that now that God has given us a worldwide network, and we've got viewers by the thousands there on the internet and listeners by the hundreds of thousands on satellite and radio, that we lost our country because of bad music. We can take it back because of good music. Or at least that should be one of the weapons we use. The Bible says that we have weapons that are powerful for the destruction of fortresses. It says that in what? 2 Corinthians chapter 10? And so it occurred to me, I think, by the Spirit, well, then, start getting good music out there. So we decided when we go to Branson, we would just, there's all kinds of music in those hills, what I call country gospel music. And we would just film the musicians, put them on a green screen, and then on Sunday night, we'll have video and audio on the internet. Of course, it'll be on the radio as well. And we have a disclaimer saying that the people singing for us don't necessarily agree like we do, or think like we do, or we don't necessarily think like they do. But the Bible says we are to edify one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And my thought was this, okay, we'll just put the musicians out there, let them sing their music, and put their addresses on the screen and on the airways so people can order their CDs direct. Seems like a pretty fair thing, don't you think? And Pastor Spaulding, we're going to have him on Saturday night. We're going to have Saturday Night Country Gospel Opera Hour and have him play the artist's music so that they can be edifying the saints. And people out there can order the music because we would give the name and address of the musician. One person from New York wrote to my webman and says, we would like to order some of the minstrels' music CDs from Branson. We were there only in spirit and over the internet, but nevertheless, we enjoyed it very much. What a blessing. Would it be possible to have a page section on the website with all the contact info for those minstrels and other performers? Kind of like the bookstore, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I got back, and this month, I think Jeff told me that he was kind of encouraged that we had new unique visitors to our site of 10,000. 10,000 plus. Now, that's the new unique visitors. Just the new unique ones. That means 10,000 people would be able to see how they could order music from the minstrels. Seemed like a fair deal to me. Oh, you ought to see what happened out there in Branson. Mr. Spaulding, a man that was high up in the country music business many years ago, walked away from it because he hung his harp up, so to speak, to sing for the Lord. He took on the job for me. I kind of wish I hadn't given him the job, tell you the truth, but it's the way it worked out. And he knew people that he thought were his friends, and he started lining up singers. We had 40 hours of green screen. How many people did we record out there? How many songs did we get? Give me an idea. No, we had more songs than that. The green screen. 75, 80 songs put out there on the green screen. Now, right now, I don't know which ones to play. I'm not going to play any of them, I don't think, until I make sure I contact all the minstrels and say, now, is it okay to play your songs? Because some of them are now either calling or sending letters or faxes saying, don't you dare play me. Because here's what's happened. Remember on Saturday night, I'll just tell you the story. Remember Saturday night, we had these minstrels coming up. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I gave them an audience, I gave them money, I gave them exposure on worldwide internet and on worldwide radio and on satellite. one of them, and I was a little bit suspicious about the gentleman when I looked into his eyes, and some other people told me a few things about him. He checked us out on the internet. Now, I have never gone on the internet and checked out Pastor Peter J. Peters, but I understand there is so much out there on me. It's incredible. Now, I say, why don't you just come to church and see what I have to say? Well, I know what they're saying, and this is the thing that's really interesting, is that they'll go, the biggest lying outfit out there is the Anti-Defamation League, the Jewish Anti-Defamation League of the B'nai B'rith. You ought to order our tape on, what does it mean, the B'nai B'rith? Who are these people? They are the covenant sons of Ai that you read about in the Bible. But we do know this about them. They do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, you're listening to a man that does. But the Bible says those that claim that Jesus did not come in the flesh are liars and antichrists. Who do the Christians listen to? They listen to the Jewish Anti-Defamation League that says, and the categories are basically like this. They have me as a hate group. They have me as a white supremacist. They have me as KKK. What's that? And a cult leader. Oh, yeah, if you preach anything that's not preached in the churches today, they just put the same cult leader on you. They got all these things on Pastor Peters. Now, I've purposely never gone and Googled in my name because I just ignore and laugh at these things and hold up the shield of faith. They expected me to be buried a long time ago, but I'm still here, reaching more than I've ever reached before. And every time, every blow that's been brought against me, and I've had persecution, I lost my job, I lost my friends, I had family members that wouldn't even talk to me. I've given this illustration before. I remember one time I went to see my mother-in-law. She wouldn't let me in the door because she read about me in the paper. And I said, Mom, you've known me for I've been married to your daughter 20-some years. But it's the way it works. There's some kind of spell. You know, you need to ask yourself, would I be one of those that one day are saying Hosanna to the highest and the next day yelling crucify him? That's what happened, isn't it? The Bible talks about those that are double-minded being unstable in all their ways. Well, I pointed out to this man, I talked to him on the phone, and I said, now, well, are you anti-Semitic? Are you anti-Jewish? I said, yeah. Well, I want you to know out there, I'm just as anti-Judaism as you can get. I'm also anti-Mohammedism. I'm also anti-Buddhism. I'm anti-Satanism. Why? Because I am for Christ, and that means I'm against Antichrist. And you can say that I have no love, but the Bible tells me that if you are going to let them believe that they can come to the Father apart from the Son, you're the one that doesn't have the love. I say to any Jew rabbi that no, hell is a hell of a place, and that's where you're headed because the Bible says there is no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. Amen? And they teach that Jesus Christ was not the Son of God. And because I would dare to point that out, then they have been programmed like Pavlovian dogs to begin to bark and salivate. And they got on the phone. This guy got on the phone the way I understand it. I don't know for sure, but that's what I've been told. Started calling the other singers that had been lined up. I guess they got some kind of organization out there, gospel association. They associate with one another. I don't know a lot about minstrels, except I think that the word minstrel and menstruation have some kind of connection. So anyway, the next thing I know, like, remember this one couple, very nice couple, sang very well. Ron and Opal, was that their name? The last I got word was that I was told they're going to sue us if we play their music after they actually went to green screening and got green screened. You see, I was just doing that to get the music out there, but they've got those people now so stirred up that we are these terrible people. Let me get this right now. Let's see. You're not going to let me pay for the studio, pay for the green screening, pay for the airtime, and put your name out so people can order your material. Because it might hurt your career. I tell you, I can't help but laugh on this thing. Oh, yeah, it's kind of interesting. I'm sure that all the performers that are upset with me now that took my money on Saturday are going to send my money back. My address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. Why don't you at least be honorable enough as a man or a woman of God if you want to slander me and send the money back that I gave you? You know, I pay them to sing to boot. Now, this is what's been going on out there. And then on top of that, they have attacked Stephen Spaulding, who was nice enough to work for us and try to help us line up because he has connections out there. He had no motive. He doesn't work for me. He's just working to assist us. And last I talked to him, he was, I think, feeling kind of down because, one thing about the Bible says a man of many friends comes to ruin. We all pay a price when you come to a truth. You find out who your friends are and who they aren't. That's what happens. They are calling and getting his concerts canceled, places where he performs. That's how he makes a living. That's what they do. And they're attacking him big time. So you people out there, pray for him. I'm only preaching today because you prayed for me. And I can say to people that come under attack, the Lord works it all for good if you just take it and persevere. And the word persevere and persecution seem to have a tie-in together. You know what I'm saying? And it occurred to me, if music affects you physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally, that it can be used as a weapon. And I began to study how it has been used as a weapon. This book is excellent. It's called The Marxist Minstrels by David Noble. And it was written in the 70s, but it does a superb job of pointing out how they studied music and how they could put people into condition, reflex, and neurosis and that type of thing. Actually has a chapter in here, and I want to give this in relation to the Day of the Lord events. It has a chapter in here on Pavlov's condition reflex techniques. And how Stalin paid Pavlov and had these studies. Pavlov was a Russian scientist, and he trained these dogs to react to stimuli, be it sounds or lights. How many have heard of Pavlov's dogs? Well, here's what he would do is they were able to measure the saliva. When the dog's hungry and they're bringing food and he smells the food, he begins to salivate, and they could measure the food, the salivation. Salivation. And so when they would turn a light on feeding time, they always turned a particular light on. They got food. A different color light, they didn't get food. Pretty soon they could make the dog salivate without even having any food just by the light. Well, the same thing started happening with music. And they were able to condition. Now here's the rest of the story, so to speak. Another untold story, I guess it would be good to have this way, that most people don't know about. I read about this years ago, that Pavlov had this well-financed, government-financed lab with all these dogs in it, and a flood hit. And he couldn't get to his dogs, and the dogs got wet and cold and hungry, and by the time he got there, got the place drained out and got the dogs cleaned up and fed and that type of thing, he went back to his experiments. Guess what had happened? All of their conditioning had been lost. And then I realized, I think I know what the Lord's doing with the Day of the Lord events. He is going to work in such a way to take these conditionings that they have put in our people. They can actually make people react with like knee-jerk Pavlovian reactions to respond the way these Praise the Lord, Christian singers responded. And now all of a sudden they want to take and put a Christian man like Stephen Spaulding out of business because he would dare line up singers for a man like Peter Peters. Does that make sense? I shouldn't use that expression, but let me tell you one of the greatest revelations I ever had. And I want to say this to minstrels. You can always tell a minstrel. You just can't tell them much. And that's this, the greatest revelation I ever had. It's a true story. There have been some times that God has just given me revelation. It happened about 3 a.m. I woke up. And the message was coming to me so loud and so clear, I couldn't understand it. And it stayed with me for hours. What was it, Pastor Peters? The message I kept getting was this: you are nothing. You are nothing. Now, to show you just how slow this sheep is behind the pulpit, I was saying, Lord, what does this mean? You talk about getting caught up in pride. Sometimes we really get to thinking we're something, don't we? And that's one of the temptations of a minstrel. Because music has a power of itself anyway, and if you're good, pretty soon you've got people eating out of your hand. And they're appraising you, and you're getting addicted to the applause and that type of thing. Well, sometimes preachers can get to thinking there's something. Let me tell you why the Lord Jesus Christ didn't go to the temples to find his men. He went out on the docks and found Peter and the likes. Because the good men in the religious world then is just like today. They're gone. You've heard of the good, bad, and the ugly. Well, the only thing that's left in those churches today, as far as I'm concerned, are the bad and the ugly. The good left a long time ago. And that rattlesnake church I told you about 2 weeks ago, had a man call me up. He was going by it just a couple days ago. Wasn't it about 2 days ago? And curled up there right on the road was another rattlesnake. It's the third one. And I think it's a sign. And boy, they're out there. And they'll bite you and they'll try to cause you bitterness. And I started praying about this. And then I finally got it. Whoa. If Jesus Christ is everything, is he? Then I am nothing. But then when I am in Christ, I become something. Amen. And all that I do, I am to do as unto the Lord. Amen? Amen. If I'm to sing, I do it for him, not for my career. Amen. And not because I'm something great. I'm going to give you something about a time period that we're in. We are in the days of the Lord. And the persecution will come from these I love Jesus people. I've had it happen. I could tell you persecution story after persecution story. I want to tell you this. You have to persevere. That's how God teaches you endurance. You cannot pass somebody else's test. Amen? This ministry in 1999 and in early... back in 2000 and early part of 2001 was preaching that come September 18th of 2001, nothing would ever be the same in this world. Now, those of you on this ministry know we taught that. I said I did not know what was coming, but something was coming. Quiet over there. And so, come 9/11... something happened. Well, you missed it. You missed it. No, I didn't. 7 days before the disaster hit on the ark, the doors closed. 9/11 was 7 days before 9/18 that I told everybody about. Then I got just thinking, and I think it's of the Spirit. September of 2008 is 7 years from September of 2001. I'm not concerned about this election because I think God has plans of his own. And his plans, I think something's up in September of 2008. Am I making a prediction? No. Call me a chicken prophet if you want, but I'm telling you, I'm suspecting something. We are in the days of the Lord. This is the time to be faithful. You have the day of the Lord events going on all around you. Now, I'll tell you something. If you go to the Lord, you people that have been slandering people like us and lying about this preacher and repent, he'll forgive you. But you're going to be paddled for it because I prayed for you. And I'll forgive you too. In fact, I already have. I've learned a long time ago not to let these snakes make me bitter. The one fellow is doing all that. Remember that one gal and him got up there and she kept singing, Satan, 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 Satan. Remember that? Now that, I have that in my notes. That's a different type of music. That's not our music. You see? Well, because they're different kind of people. People, I see that I'm running out of time in this broadcast, but my thoughts are time is running out. And if you're not right with God, you better get right. And let me tell you how to get right. It's not that hard. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. It says that in Acts 2:38. Oh, I know the churches don't say that. Your preachers don't say that. And I know you're exceptional. You don't have to do it because you've been called. I want to tell you something. Many are called, few are chosen. Your job is to be called, chosen, and faithful. And if you can't figure out Acts 2:38, you got problems. The problem is you need to repent. You need to repent and do what it says to do, and you need to repent and start taking communion after you do that. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you gave us a good Branson gathering. I thank you even for the persecution. You said to rejoice and be glad when they speak evil of you falsely on account of you. They have spoken evil of us falsely on account of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we know that they've given us great rewards in heaven, and so we rejoice. But we do pray that your Holy Spirit would work and grant repentance to them, that they might come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil and the work of his children as they spread their slander. O Heavenly Father, for your people today, give them peace now in this time of the day of the Lord, and bless them and keep them. Make your face shine upon them. Be gracious to them. Lift your countenance upon them and grant them peace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
The preceding message by circuit riding preacher Peter Peters from the LaPorte Church of Christ, located at the base of the beautiful Colorado Rocky Mountains in LaPorte, Colorado, has been aired on the Scripture for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network and is available on CD or DVD and is archived at the website scripturesforamerica.org. Remember, circuit rider, preacher, and teacher Peter Peters broadcasts live nightly from his Wyoming radio ranch, nestled in the Laramie, Wyoming River Valley. It's a working horse and cattle ranch where circuit riding preacher Dr. Peters reaches the lost sheep of the House of Israel worldwide on satellite, internet, and shortwave radio. Dial settings 5755 and 9480. Check out the 24-hour, 7 days a week web broadcasting website, sfawbn.com. Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network is made possible by the prayers and tithes of the faithful. If you want to write to circuit riding preacher Peter Peters, the address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. Or you can visit us on the web at www.scripturesforamerica.org. The preacher will be right back this way next week and hopes you will too.
Oh. strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fierce drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when strife ceases, my comforter.
Pledge all my love for Jesus. Jesus my King. All for Him who died for me. I'm a man who gives his life and every other thing, all for the love of a King.
Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veil below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcome. Faith is the victory, faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword the word of God. We tread the road the saints above with shouts of triumph trod. By faith they